At Highland, we're all about celebrating little wins and little ways to innovate digital processes. There's no customer pain point too small for us to help with. Maybe that's why more than half of the Fortune 100 looks to Highland to connect their content and data, improve processes, and turn little efficiencies into big wins for their customers and clients. Highland, intelligent content solutions for innovators everywhere at highland.com.
Into sports.
20 yards out, Urch to shoot, don't shoot! Oh, what a goal for Fabinho! Wow!
And get into the all-new OTB Sports app.
I think when he apologises to me, I probably will say hello to him, yeah. No.
Videos, sports news, live scores, interviews.
If Fabregas is going to come up to me in the street and give me some of the mouth that he would have given me on a football pitch, what would he get a slap?
Plus, exclusive content on the OTB Podcast Network. The biggest names in sports, ready when you are. Search OTB Sports on your app store and download it now.
The OTB Podcast Network, with Green Farm on the go. Snack smart with 100% natural, protein-powered chicken bites. The Paddy Power Half Hour on OTB Sports. Minimal contact in stadiums. That shouldn't stop the usual suspects from going down. Gamble responsibly. Gamblingcare.ie.
All right, you're very welcome along to everybody's favourite half hour of the week. It's the Paddy Power Half Hour on a Friday afternoon, where every Friday we tease our way through every single Premier League game of the weekend and hopefully uncover some gems and some value for you. With us, as ever, I'm delighted to say, from Paddy Power, we've got Jason Murphy. Jason, good morning slash afternoon to you. How are you?
All good, yeah, all good, Jared, thanks.
And a call from his YouTube studio, calling it as usual. And how are you?
Jared, not so bad. It is afternoon, I think, but morning for some of us. Yeah.
You were up very early this morning for you. It was like 10:30, I think, when you were stumbling onto your YouTube channel to give out about Celtic sacking their chief executive. But they didn't actually sack him. He retired. Sorry.
I wasn't giving out, firstly. I genuinely was literally only after getting out of bed. I had to get changed to go live because, yeah, Peter Law's gone. So I think it's a good thing. I wasn't necessarily given out. So it was expected news, but came at an unexpected time and probably came at a good time to distract a lot of people from the review that's supposed to be going on to Neil Lennon at the minute. So it's an interesting time for Celtic ahead anyway.
You don't sleep in your pink T-shirt?
I don't sleep in my pink T-shirt, no.
Oh, very good.
Not my PJs, no.
All right, look, I legitimately think this is one of the most interesting weekends of a full football slate that we've had in a long, long time. Bizarrely, there are loads of games on Saturday. There are multiple games kicking off at 3 o'clock on Saturday afternoon. It might just begin to feel like a normal football weekend, obviously with no fans and coronavirus raging in the background. But I don't know, maybe you guys are going to prove me wrong or disagree, but I actually think that most of the games are relatively interesting and there are some very interesting games this weekend. So, Enda, you have put up a Twitter poll and it's obviously about Thomas Tuchel. You know, we all know that Henry Winter said that the clock was ticking in the middle of his first game. You could hear the clock ticking on the Tuchel era, maybe because, you know, Frank Lampard was English. Who knows what the English journalists already calling the time for the German manager has. Well, I don't know what that's about. What do you think is going to happen? What do our watchers and listeners and Twitter followers think?
Listen, the group think from English football media over the Frank Lampard sacking has been absolutely ridiculous. I mean, I'm not shocked that BT didn't criticize him because obviously you had his friends talking about him in the media, and then obviously Sky Sports had his little blood relative talking about him. But the football media in general in England was just unbelievably just. They came together, had this idea about Frank Lampard, and then that was it, and they stuck to it, and fair play to him. But we asked our viewers and our listeners how long Tuchel is going to last, because Frank Lampard lasted a year and a half. The last manager who lasted 2 years was years ago, was pre-Abramovich era. So how long is Tuchel going to last? He has an 18-month contract, so a year, 18 months, end of this season, or will he get a new contract? I think our listeners are leaning towards the 18 months, so he's going to finish out his contract, no more.
Right.
I would be leaning towards the just before that 18 months. I think he might get more than a year, but he may not get that 18 months.
Is that true? Nobody's had more than 18 months since pre-Abramovich?
I'm pretty sure,
right?
I saw that coming around.
Mourinho did in his first one.
Mourinho was the last one, yeah.
Right, so the options were he will make it all the way to a new contract, he will see out his 18-month contract, he will get a year and be sacked this time next year, or he won't. He'll make the end of this season and be sacked. Mm. 18 months, he'll see out the contract, but not get a new one is the majority of what people are thinking at the moment. Is there any money on, are people gambling on where or how long Thomas Tuchel, or how successful he will be at the moment? How do you guys deal with something like this, Jason?
Yeah, so like we've a really good specials team here. They're very reactive, and obviously this is very topical this week. So we've Thomas Tuchel specials on site at the moment. If you look at Abramovich, he's had 11 permanent managers, not including the likes of Benitez or Hiddink. The average length of time is 17 months, and then the median is about 11 months. So Mourinho skews it a bit because he had a couple of times there. So Frank wasn't harshly treated. Like, he got his 17 months the same as anyone else got, and more successful managers were given the bullet. So I think Abramovich has done what's right for his club at this time. The outlook is a lot better with Tuchel, and to play Atletico Madrid next month, you know, if they can get over that, which they have a chance with this squad and this manager, it's possible they could have a run at the Champions League. We've 5-1 for them to win a trophy this season, still in the FA Cup as well. But in terms of seeing out the contract, what we've done is based off the 11 months that the majority seem to get, we have it 7-4 that he sacks before Christmas Day. So that gives him about 11 months between now and then. But we do, obviously, with that price, we do expect him to see the 18 months of the contract out.
That's a pretty short price, though, like 7-4. There's a, you know, it's not, it would not be entirely unexpected if he does get sacked before Christmas.
Exactly. It all depends on, like, how this season goes. We think he will compete next year. He will compete for a Premier League title. We think he will compete in the Champions League if they're there next year. But they won't be at the front of the betting with your Bayern Munich, Man City or Liverpool teams that are out there. So it's as much better position for Chelsea to be in now. That, you know, a new romance for Tuchel is better than staying loyal for Frank.
We had spoken about the impact that a change of manager could make on expected points totals next season, and therefore shorten the odds on what the odds on them actually winning the league. Again, we're talking about a market that doesn't exist just yet, but theoretically, if Tuchel shows any signs of life, Chelsea's price will shorten. How significantly will it shorten for next season's Premier League title?
So off the top of my head, I think they're about 7 or 8 to 1 going into the start of the season. And if Liverpool keep the squad together, as in we don't see Mane or Salah heading to Spain, and Man City are going to be strong next year again, you'd imagine with that squad and possibly one or two additional signings with a real good manager that there will be third or fourth in the betting. So we did improve them, the rating off the basis of Frank. The market didn't blink. Their price against Wolves didn't change, either shorten or drift. Obviously, he only had one session before that game. But the expectation over the course of the season is that he will improve them this season. So you will see some of their outright prices shorten a little bit in terms of top four, in terms of what they might do in the Champions League. But for next year, we'll have a closer look when we know a bit more information. But definitely, you know, going into next season, much better chance with Tuchel than Frank, regardless of what happens in the Premier League at any club this summer.
So they could be as short as 5-1, in from 7-1. That's the impact a manager could have.
If the finish, oh yeah, absolutely. In terms of, yeah, I wouldn't have it more dramatic than that, as right. In a good manager about 0.1. of a goal in terms of that metric, yeah.
Okay, all right. We have some specials that we pick every weekend. We had great success with this before Christmas. I'm not convinced that we're doing as well just yet, but what have you got for us this week?
No, I think we went too general over the last couple of weeks, so, and I've sort of narrowed it a little bit, and we'll touch on these games a little bit more later on, but we'll start with the Crystal Palace against Wolves. So Crystal Palace against Wolves, again, we put up an Instagram poll, and we'll get to that later, but most people would think that Wolves are doing much better than Crystal Palace. They actually have the exact same record. Wolves have played one game less than them, but essentially what we've gone for here is no goals to be scored in the first half of this game, and the reason that I've gone for that is because I had a look at the times of the goals conceded by Crystal Palace and by Wolves, and the times that they generally score. 68% of Wolves' goals come in the second half and come in the last 20 minutes of their games, whereas Crystal Palace, generally, they do concede quite early in the first 15 minutes. But if they don't concede in the first 15 minutes, then you're waiting until late, late in the second half for their goals tally for them to concede a goal. So I think if Crystal Palace can keep it solid for the first 15 minutes, then Wolves don't generally play on the front foot as much as they might have wanted to this season, and especially without Raúl Jiménez. So later on in the game, I think that's where you'll see goals, if there's going to be goals at all in this game. So what are the odds in this, Jason?
Yeah, so it's very good angle, like you've outlined. When the market's priced these up, you can find little values because they don't fully account for quirks that you have with teams like this. If you look at the six meetings between them, including the cup, since Wolves got promoted, three of the games have been 0-0 at halftime. The other three, Wolves would have scored at the first half and 1-0. It's expected low goals in the game, only about 1.8. You'd normally expect 2.7 goals per game. So we've enhanced it. We've put it in the off-the-ball specials market. We've enhanced it to 7-4. That would be 0-0 at halftime. And it's a good angle that Enda has flagged here on this.
All right, I like this. This is not a broad bet. This is very specific in the first half of that game. And you'll know by halftime whether or not you have won. Our second one is Chelsea against Burnley. Burnley to score in the first 15 minutes, Enda. You've gone from like, let's have a bet for the next 10 years too. Let's have a bet in the first 15 minutes. This is exactly. This is brave.
Getting them out early because there is method to this because again I was just looking at the stats for teams to score and when they generally score. 30% of Burnley's goals this year, albeit they haven't scored many, 30% of them have come in the first 15 minutes game. So they play really quickly and really hard for the first 15 minutes, then start to drop off and tighten up the ship a little bit. And generally, you know, I'm not sure about this Chelsea defense, especially when it comes to high balls, long balls over the top, and balls into the box as well from set pieces. So if Burnley can play in the front foot and they play to form, then, you know, they've got about a 30% chance of scoring in the first 15 minutes of this game. So I think that's pretty good odds, depending on what our odds are with Paddy Power.
Yeah, what are they?
Yeah, so we've gone to 8-1. We put it in the off-the-ball specials for Burnley to score in the first 15 minutes against Chelsea. Just with any of these stats, they are really small sample sizes, so context is important in them. But Enda is dead right that Burnley, they've only scored 13 goals, but it's an abnormally high amount have been scored in the 15 minutes. But that's not necessarily all down to Burnley. It could have been the teams that they were playing on the day or just a fluke of a deflection. But 8-1 we think is a fair price. If you wanted to go a bit further, we always offer flash scores in all our Premier League matches. So if you wanted to throw a dart at Barnes to score in the first 15 minutes or for it to be Wood, you can get 22 and 25-1 respectively.
Okay. And I'm not having this bet. I think that Chelsea, three at the back, and that was like, whatever they're doing, they're not conceding goals for the first while. He's going to give that defence some confidence. He's going to try and give whichever goalkeeper he tries to reclaim properly some confidence. That's been one of the main things that he's been brought in to do. So I'm not having that one. I like your first one, though. And then the last one is Man City to win multiple trophies. What's your rationale here?
Yeah, so this is actually a Paddy Power special for the weekend. So generally, though, you know, we're talking about Man City as just the Premier League title contenders and probably are going to run away with it. But again, FA Cup weekend, last weekend, Man City are kings of that tournament. So they can potentially win that. I don't think they're going to win the Champions League, but they definitely have potential to win more than just the Premier League if they do win it this year.
Okay, I'm not counting them out of the Champions League at this point. There's no amazing team slashing their way across Europe, maybe the exception of Atletico Madrid, but let's wait and see what happens to them. So Manchester City to win multiple trophies. It looks like they're odds on already for the Premier League. So what are the odds on this?
Yeah, so we offer multiple trophies on any of the big teams that have a realistic of chance of winning more than one trophy. So if you were to put a price on yourself, what price would you have Man City to do the quadruple this season?
The quadruple. Okay, so they're in the final of the League Cup and they've still got three games to go, quarterfinal, semi-final, final in the... four games to go in the... so what's that? So they're going to be odds on for that game. They're going to be 3-1, 2-1 for the FA Cup. So so my math's not so good here. Two odds on and a 3-1. It's going to work out about 5-1, and then for the Champions League, what are they, 6? Is this, should they be 15-25-1, some of that kind of area?
Jesus, unbelievable. Very good match there on the spot, A1. So basically, that's the approach we take. We look at the prices in each of the individual markets. So they're well odds on in the Premier League, 6-4 in the FA Cup. We have them 4-9 to beat Spurs in the League Cup final. The one on the Champions League, they're 7-2, which looks a little bit short, arguably. Add those prices all up, multiply them out, that's a 20-1 shot. But given the nature of this season, it's going to be quite attritional. So we have it 25-1 for Man City to do the quadruple at the moment. So look, if it doesn't work out well off the ball, there's a job here for you, Ger.
All right, thanks a million. Right, let's go. The games this week, our first game, and I said it's a pretty interesting slate of games. it starts off with, okay, not the most exciting, but it's Everton against Newcastle. It might be exciting because it might be the end of the Seabury's era, and I don't really have that much to say beyond I think that this is going to be a very low scoring game. That's what the XG would tell you. Our poll says 92% Everton, 8% Newcastle. Newcastle are absolutely friendless at the moment, and they deserve to be because they've got a horrible owner. And as a Villa fan, I predicted last season that it was going to end horribly for Steve Bruce. I was a season late. And yeah, so not too much to say about this. I think Everton are going to win 1-0. And I think that's what the odds are telling me as well. Would I be right, Jason? That's what the market says?
Yeah, Everton 8-15, the draw 14-5, Newcastle 11-2. So the market's quite sweet on an Everton win here, more so to do with Newcastle troubles. No win in 9 games, I think. They've only scored 2 goals in that run. The 8-15 does sound just a little bit short for me. What I'd suggest, if you wanted to have a bet on this, you don't have to. I'd probably go both teams to score at even money. I think Newcastle with Saint-Maximin coming back and hopefully getting a bit more up to fitness, and with Jordan Pickford in the Everton goal, there's a chance that Newcastle will score here. So for me, even money at both teams to score is probably the better bet. And it is the early kickoff. It can't kill your Akkas. I would be reluctant at touching Everton at 8-15.
All right, let's move on because we want to save some time for the big game, Arsenal Man United. Crystal Palace against Wolves. Ander, what do you got to say about this?
Yeah, so I don't really have much to say other than what I said earlier on in terms of how evenly matched these sides actually are, and to go for a later goal if you're going to go for a later if you're going to go for goals in this. But I suppose if one other angle just before we move on to the next game is probably goal scorer, and who's going to score in this game if Crystal Palace scores? Going to be Wilfred Zaha if he's fit, if he's playing. And Crystal Palace score, it's likely to be him. So I think if you're looking for a goal scorer market in this, Wilfred Zaha anytime would be a decent enough shot.
All right, Jason.
Yeah, Palace 15-8, the draw 2-1, and Wolves 8-5. With a game like this, it's low scoring. You either go to both teams to score no angle at about 4-5. Like I said, it's either 0-0 at half time, or if Wolves score in the first half to keep Palace scoreless for the remainder of the game. We'll be interested to see William Jose hopefully get off the bench. I think he's a really good striker. He's fell out of favour at Real Sociedad, partly after looking for a move to Spurs last season, but he should be a good improvement for Wolves. But for me, if you're doing your Acca builders at 3 o'clock with all these games on, probably the draw at the bigger price at 2-1 would be the best in the match odds market.
Or the unders on the goals for that one as well. Man City against Sheffield United is next. This game is all of a sudden quite interesting because of what Sheffield United managed to do to Manchester United. 86% think that Man City are going to win this game. And frankly, I agree. I think Manchester City are in excellent form at the moment. Last week was one of those routine victories that we've started to see from them over the last 5 or 6 weeks that we were used to them having the two seasons where they were hitting the 100-point mark. And it's the hallmark of that intense top quality football that creates chances and teams don't really know how to defend against it. Having said that, I do think Sheffield United, was it 75% of their games that they've only lost by a goal? So I would hope that it's closer, but I'm predicting a 3-0 win for Manchester City here. That's kind of what the XG is saying for this one too. Jason, I presume it's like Sheffield United even a bigger price than they were for the game against Man United.
Yeah, they're only about 11 or 12 to 1 against Man United, but against Man City, they're 20 to 1 here. Man City 1 to 9 and the draw 8 to 1. So obviously you're looking for value in other markets. Like you alluded to, Man City 7 wins in the top flight on the bounce. The first time they've done that since August 2019 possibly, where they went on to win 15 games, I think. So City are getting back to the normal things we expect under Pep. The first time they finished today top of the table on Tuesday night, first time this season. We've had 9 different teams top of the table this season. That's the most in the season since 1989, which tells you the amount of variability we've had. But remember, Man City were late starting the season. They were hidden in the pack there, but they've come to the front now just as we passed the halfway mark. So no surprises there. But a bet for this game, as you say, Sheffield United, I'd expect them to be competitive. The 3 games they've played City since getting promoted, they've lost 1-0, 2-0. They do stay competitive. So an interesting angle is second half, most goals is even money. We've seen Man City during the week bring off about 60 million quids off the bench. Laporta and the others and the likes, you know what to do. So Sheffield United stay competitive first half and probably see City open up maybe in the second half and make use of that bench.
All right, that's interesting, but I haven't heard of that one before. So it's what, most goals in the second half? That's what it's called?
That's it, most goals, second half, even money.
Okay, West Brom versus Fulham next, Ender.
Yeah, don't say it, Jared. This really is a 6-pointer for relegation, isn't it? Fulham versus West Brom, what a game. But in fairness,
not if they
West
both
Brom,
go down, but go on.
West Brom can leapfrog Fulham if they win this game, but Fulham will have two games played more than them, so or less than them rather. So Fulham are still in the driving seat there when it comes to it. If you're looking at this in terms of, you know, narratives, Scotty Parker, the new fresh England former football manager and former football player, now manager, he's better looking, he's more handsome, he's better dressed. But he's still managing a relegation battler team as well as Sam Allardyce. But in terms of actual footballing stats going into this game, the stats are they're stacked right up against West Brom for this. They've only won, they've actually lost all five of their last home games. Fulham have only lost one of their last five away games, and they're averaging about a goal and a half per away game, and Fulham or West Brom are conceding on average of 2.9 goals per home game. So on paper, at least Fulham are favourites going into this game. It won't be that way though, because West Brom are obviously going to try to keep it tight as long as possible, and anything can happen when Big Sam's in charge. So I actually think the Fulham will win this because they're playing really good football now and they seem to have clicked a little bit, but it's not going to be a high scoring game, I don't think. So I think Fulham, but under 2.5 goals in this.
All right, that's a very specific prediction, and I like the rationale behind it. Jason, what is the market saying for this? How do you price this one up?
Yeah, so we have West Brom 23-10, the draw 21-10, and Fulham 5-4. I'd agree with Enda. I'd take Fulham at 5-4. Wouldn't take them much shorter. West Brom conceded 22 goals in their last five home games. The only concern is you need Fulham to score. They've only scored four in their last seven, but we have improved them a fair bit since about November onwards. Scotty Parker has made changes there. But to be honest, they are both championship standard teams, and really it was Brentford that should have came up ahead of either one of these last year. But if you were having a bet, Fulham probably at that price, 5-4.
All right. The big game of the weekend, Arsenal against Manchester United. It is 43%, according to our Instagram followers, think Arsenal are going to win this, and 57% think Manchester United are going to win. I would say if we'd been doing this last week, it would have been 30-70. So Arsenal fans getting confident, Manchester United fans starting to have a little bit of jitters because actually David De Gea not that amazing, and maybe Pogba's going to get disinterested again if the title isn't on the table. Who knows what's going to happen? Enda, one of the storied rivalries of your youth. You must be very much looking forward to this as a Manchester United fan.
Yeah, I was doing a bit of commentator bingo or Sky Sports bingo when it comes to this game. How much do you reckon there's going to be? Has this rivalry lost a bit of edge in the last couple of years? Remember that tunnel incident? Remember Vieira and Keane kicking lumps out of each other in 04? It's like watching, do you know the episode of South Park with the member berries? And it's just sickening at this point. Arsenal and United is no longer a rivalry. It's just not. A rivalry is only a rivalry if A, both teams are going for the title, and B, two teams are in the nearest city closest to each other, or they're in the same city. Neither are true for these teams. So can we please stop calling this a rivalry? Because it's not. It's just a big game. Arsenal United is always a big game, but it is no longer a rivalry. Man City, Liverpool is the rivalry of England now. And end off. That's what I wanted to put.
Arsenal are irrelevant, Enda. That's what you're saying. Arsenal are irrelevant.
At this point, they actually are, in fairness. Who really thinks Arsenal are going to finish anywhere near the top four at this stage?
Well, things have turned around. Arteta, he's got Partey back. He's got Odegaard in. So there's a bit of competition for the 10 spot. I mean, they have allowed their manager some time to learn. He is clearly learning and getting better. He's burned all of the bad influences out of the club. I'd say training is a bit more crack, and he's starting to believe that he's starting to feel himself a bit.
Oh yeah, now that Ozil's gone, everything's sorted. That's how things work, really. Look, Arteta's doing a good job. He's doing a decent job. A lot of moving plates that he's had to deal with. But next year is when you're going to be judging Arteta, not this year.
So you're predicting a Manchester United win then on the basis of the fact that Arsenal are irrelevant, I presume?
No, well, there's actually a basis behind the fact that United can win this game. I mean, United don't suddenly turn into relegation candidates just because they lost one game during the week. They've still got that away record. They're much better away from home than they are at home. And Arsenal have not been good at home recently this year at all. So United have the players that they can get at this Arsenal defence for sure and get at the fullbacks. Bombing forward. So there is more than just my hatred for Arsenal going into this game that's judging my opinion that United are going to win it.
Jason, I've got to say I don't believe in home and away records this year. I think they're just a coincidence. I think it is a coincidence that Manchester United were bad at home for a period of time in games this season. I'm not buying that this is a pattern or that it's going to persist week to week. And I mean, maybe some of the trends are long enough now that you guys are saying actually that sample size is big enough, but I'm sorry, I'm just not having it.
Yeah, we believe home advantage, what you would have normally got, it's been reduced from, say, about 0.3 of a goal to about 0.1 of a goal. As a comparison, that's basically like playing without Harry Kane every week of your Spurs. So fans do make a difference. It is a small sample size this season, but over the course of last season as well, behind closed doors, that's what the stats are starting to tell us, and we're getting more and more data on it. In terms of this game, Arsenal are very much relevant. The prices do have them, Arsenal 9-5, the draw 23-10, and Man United 7-5. So therefore, if there was a home crowd, Arsenal would be favourites for this match. But I still think they could possibly go off favourites, providing Tierney is past fit, Emily Smith-Rowe is a small doubt, Thomas Partey. But if Arsenal get their best 11 on the pitch, I could see them going off favourites for this game. And the reason I'm worried about it, and the reason why I'd side with Arsenal, is tactically, if you look at the last game, it was a terrible match, but Solskjaer went with the diamond. It had worked well during the week against Leipzig heading into this game, but it was completely non-effective against Arsenal. He goes with two strikers and tries to play them wide, take advantage of the space left by the Arsenal wing backs, but it just didn't work. And in terms of the press, if you look at Arsenal's goal against Southampton during the week, if you look at how lethargic United were trying to get to move the ball along the back line during the week against Sheffield United, that Arsenal press is going to be a real issue as well. So for me, I side with Arsenal, but I will just say we do have a special bet offer on this. If you bet £5, €5 on the same game multi or a bet builder with two legs or more, if it loses, you'll get your fiver back as free cash. So what I suggest is make your own bet builder, but what I've got is three really good legs for you. The first one is Saka to score anytime. If you look at the three victories Arsenal have had this season, he's actually scored the second goal in all three of them. So he might necessarily score first, but his quality, to me, he looks like a Real Madrid player when he's on the ball. Incredible. Granit Xhaka is always good in your bet builders. We know that he's good for picking up a yellow. And then Arsenal just to win the game. That's your three legs if you want to use it. That's about 20-1 free fiver shot you could have at it. But you could build your own bet builder too for this game.
Kerry-esque Yerra-ing going on from the two Manchester United fans on the show this week. There's no way that you guys both think that Manchester United are going to get beaten by Arsenal. I don't believe in your hearts. This is your emotional shield that you're putting up there so that when Man United actually win or get a draw, you're like, wow, look, actually, we're better than we think we are.
No, it's simple maths. You take the heart out of it, you take the cognitive biases out of it, and the maths tell me that the value in those prices is with Arsenal.
I think it's going to be a draw, to be honest. I think that what happened in the first game is going to happen again, that the two managers get in each other's heads a little bit. I will be interested to see, though, if Manchester United now, as a chasing team, throw off the shackles a little bit more and start going for games and be a little bit less, if Solskjaer is a little bit less conservative in his team selection for these and in his approach to it. So I think it's also a slightly different team this time around from the last one, and that Cavani will start and he will actually make sure that their press is fairly the opposite of lethargic and a bit more aggressive. So we'll see. And what was your prediction? You're predicting an Arsenal win?
No, I think United are going to win it.
Right. You think United are going to win? Yeah. So if United win, we've an Arsenal win and we've got a draw between the three of us.
Yeah.
And that's why we have a market, ladies and gentlemen. Southampton versus Aston Villa, Enda.
Southampton Aston Villa is your game, Jay, I think, is it?
Well, it says
no, it's not. It's mine.
There you go.
It's my game. So, yeah, both these sides, the surprise of the season so far, really. Southampton and Aston Villa both been brilliant. Aston Villa, like, even though they drew with Burnley the other day.
They got beaten, Enda. They got beaten.
Sorry. Sorry. They were still excellent in that game, I thought. They're really, really building something, and if they can keep Jack Grealish in their side, then they can really push on this. And in terms of this game, you're looking at two teams that score quite a lot and concede quite a lot as well. The question about this is Danny Ings and whether or not he's going to play. Tested positive for COVID and he'll probably miss this game as well. So if he's not playing, then I would favour Aston Villa going into it. But in terms of actually leaning towards either side, I think it's probably going to be a draw, but I'd go with a goals market bet in this, I think.
Okay.
Terms of probably over 2.5.
Yeah, Jason, Villa's records defensively had been excellent up until the Burnley game. When it went 1-0, I was like, oh, this is great because we're going to see this out. But I do have this fear, again, to the source for this is Ronan O'Gara, looking at the Bundesliga and how teams that have had COVID, it has a negative impact on them. So I'm just concerned that there's a bit of data that we don't actually know what the impact is going to be on Villa and that long tail. How many of that first team actually had COVID? How bad did they have it? What's their lung function like? All that kind of stuff, because they looked a little bit tired in that second half. They looked great and they looked as good as they've done all season in that first half, but that's my concern, is that there's just a little bit of unknown here when it comes to pricing this up and to having a financial interest in it.
Yeah, no, it's a very good point. It's an interesting bit of information, and how much weight you give to it with any piece of information is important. But what we will say is that game the other night, the two goals that Burnley got late on, I mean, it's a cross that ends up in the back of the net, and it's a header from Wood that if that ball leaves his head and goes anywhere but the exact point it goes, it isn't a goal. Like, Villa should have been ahead at halftime by more. Watkins, Traore, Barkley all had great chances in the first half. So for me, I'm siding with Villa at the price here at 13-10. Southampton are 15-8. But Southampton, they've only one win in seven, and they're missing four of what you consider their best 11. So Walker Peters might be necessarily a name that stands out, or Gineppo might be a name that stands out. But Vestergaard and Romeo are really important players in that team that have been missing, and I think has contributed to the poor run of form. So for me, Aston Villa at 13-10, the performance is really good, and we're just unlucky against Burnley.
Speaking of Burnley, they're up next, Chelsea against Burnley, high noon on Sunday. So all those games we spoke about are all Saturday games this weekend, and again, that's one of those reasons why it feels like a normal Premier League weekend. 75% of you are buying the Thomas Tuchel hype on Instagram, just 25% going for Burnley. This one, you had a great suggestion of a bet last week in the Cup back in Burnley. They've come through that fixture and they're in excellent form at the moment. I still think Chelsea are going to win this game. I have them down as a 2-0, and that's what the XG markets are kind of suggesting for me. But I'm doing this very tentatively, Jason.
Yeah, and rightly so. Again, it's the early kickoff Sunday, and it's a price that it doesn't add enough juice to my acca for me to put Chelsea in at 1-3. You've Burnley 17-2 and the draw 15-4. Tuchel spoke during the week. It's really interesting. It's going to be great to listen to these press conferences about how they had 16 recoveries in the final phase, and obviously recovering the ball. You know, you're attacking, pressing, you have options when you win it back, and the other defence is disorganised. But Burnley won't try and play out from the back, so it'll be interesting to see how even what opportunity there is to get recoveries in the final third. But as Ende alluded to at the start of the show, Burnley crossed the halfway line. They're going to look to put crosses into the box. And I fancy Chris Woods or Ashley Barnes, if he starts, he's a 50-50 at the moment with fitness concerns, to possibly get their head on the end of a cross if it comes in. So I'd have a look at Chris Wood anytime, or maybe Burnley in the draw, a double chance. I wouldn't be putting Chelsea and Miaka at 1-3, but right, they should win.
All right, Leicester against Leeds, Ende.
Yeah, so this is the game of the weekend written all over it. So inevitably, it's going to end 0-0, Jer. So you've got Brendan Rodgers going up against Marcelo Bielsa. I think most of our Instagram viewers are leaning towards Leicester for this because of the form that Leeds have been in since that tweet, really. And they've been playing pretty poorly. I put more weight on the fact that Leeds are playing away from home. I think they reseeded their home pitch, but their home pitch has been absolutely dire over the last couple of weeks. And that is actually playing into how badly they're playing, because the ball was holding up and they weren't able to move it as quickly as they want. One thing that I would also lean in the favour of Leeds for this as well is the fact that Jamie Vardy is out injured for this. He'll be out for a couple of weeks with I think he's getting a hernia removed. So he'll be out for a couple of weeks, maybe 10 days, according to Brendan Rodgers. But going into this game, Leicester have the form, Leeds don't. And honestly, I'm not sure that Leeds have the players to get past this Leicester side because they're playing so well. But it's one of those ones, again, I'm very weary of putting two sides like this who you think are going to go at each other in an accumulator and leaning towards either side.
Leicester are going to win this easy. What are you talking about?
I think Leicester will win this
game.
That's what I'm saying. That's what I think they will do, but I'd be weary of putting it in case it would actually destroy the whole accumulator. I would go for a goals bet in this instead, okay. But I do think Leicester will win this game.
Okay, I think he's wrong, Jason. What does the money say?
Yeah, the Leicester price is 4-5. The draw 14-5 and Leeds 3-1. Could see the previous meeting, Leicester bet Leeds quite well, 4-1. It was Monday Night Football, and Brendan Rodgers was very happy to come out and tell us all about it afterwards under the bright lights. But the big concern I'd have with that 4-5 price is Vardy. He was well able to exploit the space that you'd have against a Leeds team that likes to get forward. With Vardy missing for this game, I'd be reluctant to get with Leicester at 4-5. What I will be cheering on is Bamford to score. I have himself and Watkins in the top goal scorer markets. With Kane now out injured, Vardy still recovering from this hernia operation. There's each way value still in the two of them if you want to have a look at them.
Okay, West Ham versus Liverpool is my next one. And this is 31% say David Moyes, 69% says Jurgen Klopp. I didn't check David Moyes' record when he was the Everton manager against Liverpool, but his team at the moment are a credit to him. And, you know, again, ownership that fairly questionable human beings, but sure, look, what are you going to do? Liverpool's form the other night, last night, suggests that there is something going on, that there's something bubbling back up, that they've found something. And even the previous one to that, where you were just kind of starting to see some interplay between players and the goals being scored in the Manchester United game. I have a feeling, and this is not based on that much, but that Liverpool are going to win a game, the odd goal in three here. So a 2-1 win for Liverpool. I expect them to concede, even though their defence has started to look a bit more solid. I'm not doing this with any great conviction either, Jason, but I think Liverpool are going to win this.
Yeah, West Ham 10-3, the draw 14-5, and Liverpool 3-4. I think Liverpool will win it as well. I think the match odd prices look right. You don't always have to have a bet, but if you fancy West Ham to score, Mikel Antonio is the man to look to. He's 13-2 to score first. West Ham took the lead the last time to play, I think. Twice in the last two games they've gotten ahead against Liverpool, so they do score against them. And Antonio, if you actually look at his record, I think it's 13 goals in his last Premier League, 16 Premier League appearances prior to the Palace game. And he actually should have had 4 goals in the Palace game if you look back at the chances. So Antonio actually is probably a good bet there in the goal scoring markets if you want one. But I do think Liverpool will win this game.
Yeah, they should have hammered Palace. It was close in the end, but it shouldn't have been. Okay, last game here, Brighton versus Spurs. And this is pretty interesting. Spurs 83%, Brighton 17%, Enda.
Yeah, I think that 83% might have come before the Harry Kane news. So I'd say you want to factor that in if you're looking at this game. Brighton are obviously sort of picking up their form again after a very, very bad period of games. And Tottenham, again, they're sort of a mixed bag, depends what turns up. So I think initially looking at this game, my first thought was, well, Brighton are definitely here for the taking for Tottenham because they're going to play football, they're going to play in the attack. And that's what Jose Mourinho wants, because they'll defend all day and then counterattack you. But without Harry Kane there to complement Son, then you're probably looking at maybe a Lucas Moura coming in, and it's not as potent as you would like to think. And maybe Gareth Bale comes in, and you're watching, what's Gareth Bale doing these days? And I think this is going to be closer than it initially was when Harry Kane was fit for this.
So draw?
I would lean towards, I still think Tottenham, Brighton are the exact type of team Tottenham like to play, but I think it leans towards more of a draw. So I think, Jason, if you fill us in with the odds, that would probably make my decision.
Yeah, that's the smart thing to do, lads. You don't always bet the opinion, bet at the right price. Brighton 2-1, the draw 23-10, Spurs 5-4. For me, Spurs were 11-10 before Kane got injured, and now it's drifted to 5-4. I thought that 11-10 was a bit of a bet. I'll wait and see team news, and I might get with Tottenham at 5-4. Just in terms of, I think this is a real good one in terms of XG conversation. Brighton were competitive the last game against Spurs. Kane won a penalty that was never a penalty for falling over Lallana himself. What I would say is, when you look at XG for one single game, it helps tell a narrative and a tactical story of what happened in that one game, but it doesn't predict what's going to happen for the rest of the season. If you look at XG over 6 games, it can tell you if a team has been unlucky or lucky. And we've seen with Liverpool recently, over that run, they were just unlucky. The XG in the process was very good. And then if you look at XG on 10 games or more, if the results aren't matching up with XG at that stage, it's more of an indicator that either the XG is missing something or there's something missing in the process. And with Brighton now at this stage into the Potter project, they are underperforming their XG, and that suggests, like we've alluded to, that you need a striker to finish those chances. But for me, I'll wait and see what the prices for this are, but I do expect it to be a lot closer than might be thought just looking at the team names.
So you're getting off the Brighton bandwagon? You're on the verge. You've got one foot in the water.
Yeah, there's only so many times you can be hurt, Jerry. You know what I mean? All right. But look, listen, we'll see. We'll see if they can bring in a striker. There's no rumours on it that they will. Obviously, money is tight with COVID and all, everything else that goes into it. But that's all that seems to be missing out of that Brighton team being a top 10 team as opposed to hovering where they are at the moment.
All right, good stuff. Thanks a million to Jason and Enda for joining us this week on the Paddy Power Half Hour. Make sure you tune in next Friday afternoon at 1:30. We broadcast across all of our social channels and we'll have news of an incredible weekly giveaway that we'll be doing for you to help ease some of the burden that you have at the moment. That's all coming on next week's Paddy Power Half Hour. We'll see you then. Take care.
The Paddy Power Half Hour on OTB Sports. Minimal contact in stadiums. That shouldn't stop the usual suspects from going down. Gamble responsibly. Gamblingcare.ie.